What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/newbook and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy, Morgan.
All right, Joey, I've got a little mind at work at my home right now.
Well, I know your mind is little, but how is this different? Help me understand.
Oh, man, that was a softball waiting to happen, wasn't it? All right, so my 10-year-old has been working on a skill that's going to be able to produce $90.
Okay.
$90. As soon as COVID-19 is over, we're heading straight to the Galleria, which is a big shopping mall here in Birmingham, and we're going to make $90.
All right. Tell me more.
All right. So I don't know if you have this in shopping malls across America, but here in Redneck, Birmingham, Alabama, they had before COVID-19. Maybe they won't reopen this. I don't know. But they had this little side kiosk where you could go hang on a pole,
doing a pull up.
Yeah, like a pull up bar kind of pole, and you have to hang on it, arms extended, forward facing, can't be like a mixed grip. You have to hang for 2 minutes, Joey. You put down $10, and for $10 you get $100 if you can do it, right? So you put down $10, you get back $100, so you made $90.
Sounds simple enough.
Except I watched 15 or 20 people the last time I was there because I was just fascinated while we were it's right next to the food court, right? So my family's sitting there talking, and there I'm watching to see how many of these, headstrong guys are going to go over there and waste their $10. And they were one after another, and none of them even getting close. Well, during the pandemic that we've been in, COVID crisis, I got a little chin-up bar at the house. I've been trying to work out since I can't go to the gym. And my daughter, who's 10, says, "Daddy, I want to try that thing you were talking about the hanging." And I'm going to tell you, Joey, she can hang for 2 minutes and 25 seconds.
No.
It's ridiculous. I've made it as long as 1 minute and 20 seconds. And it was sucking the life out of me. I was done.
You were shaking.
So, yeah. So we've got a little moneymaker project. And would you like to know real quickly before we get into the meat of the show what she's going to do with her money?
Yeah, tell me.
Because she's already come up with the idea, right? She came up with a list of what she wanted to do with her money. It was going to be to buy a pet. All right.
So, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that
sounds fair enough.
What did you think? Hamsters, cats, dogs, maybe a bunny. Your kids had bunnies, right?
Yeah.
All right. Number one on the list, bat. Small and fruit eater, okay? How about next one on the list, butterfly?
I'll go with that one.
Yeah? How about this one, sloth? Sloth is down there at number 8. For the dumb and dumb or viewers in our audience, snow owl made the list.
Snow owl, gotta love it.
Yep. Octopus. She also got a beaver and an otter in here. Chameleon was one of those that was tossed around, and then a medium-sized monkey.
Medium. Okay.
Medium. I mean, and by the way, she not only would classify the size, but also the color. So she wanted a snow owl that was soft, and but then also a medium brown monkey.
Brown monkey. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that that would be interesting if you're wanting to know how our family's trying to create income during the pandemic crisis. I've got a 10-year-old who is eager to buy a chameleon, an owl, and a monkey with her winnings.
Wow. What does that have to do with anything that we're talking about today?
Really nothing. Probably nothing. I will say that our guest today, Natalie Barbeau, is somebody who, if you might not know who she is unless you're female, you're in your young 20s to probably 30, you probably follow her. But Joey, I was so impressed by our interview with her. Not only did she take something as simple as Instagram, something she created when she was 15 years old, and took it all the way through college and kind of built a following through it, that she left after getting an engineering degree, working at a major corporation, built a business off of Instagram and YouTube, that she left her job so that she could pursue what we're all on the journey for, which is freedom. And I thought that today's interview with her was really cool. What'd you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at first you kind of get this idea that this is a little bit of a different episode, right? It's not your standard passive income immediately kind of on face value. But I took away a lot of really interesting things, particularly in the sense that really our brands as business owners can be kind of sterile. And the need for a brand to be personal, how important that is. Like, I mean, I'll tell you this, I'm at least creating an Instagram account as a result of today's episode. So there's that.
It's about time, man. I mean, I'm sure at this point is when the newest social media is going to hit the ground. I mean, like Joey was the one that got the MySpace account, you know, in 2009. So, I mean, I can see where, you know, he could be a little late on the game here. But yeah,
I may go ahead and do a TikTok account just while I'm at it. Just go ahead and throw that in, you know, do a little TikTok, you know, TikTok at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I will say, if you guys cannot see him, thankfully he is dancing and I'm looking away because it is getting ugly in the literal sense of the word. But I did take away, you know, hey, as business owners, we typically want to scale businesses to sell. But we can't miss that we are the brand. We are the people that people follow. And I'm always grateful when we get to meet you when we're out at events or we're traveling and you come up and talk to us and say, hey, I listen to your show. And I love, you know, the fact that you share the journey that you're on. And, you know, I'm here at this event because you're doing it. And I took that away from Natalie, too, that, you know, we are the brand as entrepreneurs. And we can't miss that and not be so guarded, because you go follow me at russ.morgan.311. That's not 311, by the way. That's 311 on Instagram. Joey and I just sidebar have a little bit of a competition to see who's going to get the most followers. And I got about 150 person head start on him since I've got one of those now. that I realized that we've got to share about what we're doing, because that only helps you. And that's what we do on this podcast. So there's no reason why we shouldn't share what we're doing in a way to help you be successful in our social media. So expect to see that. Come follow us, and let's jump into our interview today with Natalie Barbeau.
If you love this episode with Natalie Barbeau, check on over to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/Natalie. So you can follow her and get some tips and tricks and things that she wants to share with you.
And for those of you that are bad spellers like I am, that's N-A-T-A-L-I-E, Natalie. WealthWallStreet.com/Natalie.
Welcome into the show. We have Natalie Barbeau joining us today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Natalie, this is going to be an opportunity where you're going to be able to teach Joey tons of things, because Joey totally needs help when it comes to building a brand. As you know, because we're doing this interview right now, he's in his closet, Natalie. Can you hear him?
I know. I give him props for the background, but
if you can only see the belt that he got from the Red Lobster that is hanging behind him, you would not be so amused. But all right, so Natalie, our audience is interested in hearing your backdrop, because as we've been sharing in the introduction, you've done an amazing job over the last 8 years of building a personal brand and building a following to the tune of 275,000 subscribers on YouTube. Tell us a little bit about that journey that you were in. I know early on you started at 15, but let's talk a little bit more in college when you started to realize that there was actually something there that could turn into dollars.
Yeah. So like you said, I did start really young when I was 15, but I definitely had no idea what it could become. So once I got to college, I started realizing that there was money in YouTube. I started noticing other people on YouTube that were making money with working with companies. And I really thought that, hey, I'm on the right track. I can do this too, as long as I'm serious about it. So I started uploading way more consistently. I started having a posting schedule. I started reaching out to brands myself, asking to work with them. But then right after college, I really still did not think that I could do this full time. I was making some money off of it, but definitely not enough to support myself. So I actually did end up getting a normal corporate job after college, working at Accenture, which is a consulting firm. And I really just knew that it was not what I wanted to do. I really wanted to be my own boss. I really wanted to work for myself. I wanted to have flexible hours. And I just noticed sometimes in a corporate company, especially one that has 500,000 employees, which was Accenture across the globe, there's so many layers to go through. And sometimes you're not as productive because of those said layers that you have to go through to get anything done. And I just realized I want to work for myself. So I put in a ton of hours onto my YouTube channel. I tried diversifying my income streams by starting a podcast. I knew that I wanted to start another business once I quit. So I actually made the leap. I quit my job and really started doing this full time. And I'm happy to say that I can support myself. I'm actually making more money now than I was at my corporate job, which is a really, really great thing and a blessing. So that's kind of my journey on how I got to do this as my full-time job. But it was a lot of hard work and a lot of hours that went into it.
All right. So if we back up a little bit, you said YouTube. Now, we've all watched every coronavirus video that's been published over the last 2.5 months on YouTube. So most of us come really familiar with YouTube. But when you talk about monetizing that and creating something where you actually get paid, that's a foreign concept to the majority of us. Talk right. A little bit of how you started to figure out that you could make money there. What does that even look like?
So with YouTube, there is actually quite a few ways to make money. So Google AdSense is how YouTube pays you out based on the ads that play on your videos. So whenever you're watching YouTube and you're watching those coronavirus videos, you're probably watching an ad in the beginning and you can either skip it after 5 seconds or go straight to the video after a few seconds. That creator, whoever uploaded that video, is actually getting paid from that ad. So you get paid per 1,000 views. And it's a really small number, but it adds up, especially the more videos that you do have. So every single month, I do get a paycheck from YouTube based on how many people watch my ads on YouTube. So if you have ad blocker and stuff like that, doesn't work. Unfortunately, I don't get paid from that. But if the eyes were on the ads, then I do get paid. And then also with brand deals. So brand deals is when a company will come up to me and ask me if I can promote their product or their service, and I charge a flat rate for it. So for example, if I were to do a dedicated YouTube video, I charge a flat rate for that company, no matter how it performs. So that's another way of getting paid on YouTube as well. So it's really interesting. A lot of people, I feel like, don't realize all the different ways that you can get paid, because those two are really, really great ways to start making an income. And then of course you can still get paid through affiliate links, or if you have merch that you created and things like that. So those are all the smaller ways, but I would say brand deals and AdSense is definitely the highest too.
Okay. So, but you said in your journey, you started seeing other people who were getting paid. what were those things that you saw early on that were like, wait a minute, that person's making money there? How, like, what were those things?
I just started seeing that people would say, this video is sponsored by blank. And so whenever I see that, I just know that money is involved. No one would sponsor a video if there's not any monetary value behind it. So I started realizing that, okay, they're probably getting paid for this video. And then I started seeing people quit their jobs and people say that they do YouTube full time. And I just knew, okay, no one's going to quit their job to do something that doesn't pay you. So I started being really serious about it. And whenever brands reached out, instead of saying, oh yeah, I'll do it for free, I started charging and they said yes. And I was like, okay, this could be a job. So that's kind of how I figured it out.
By the way, let me stop this and let you know that this podcast is being sponsored by all things IBC in the community, Wealth Without Wall Street.
It's so generous of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that all things IBC community is generous, and we want to make sure that they get their full due in the light of this podcast. So, Natalie, when you're in that position of trying to figure out how do I leave my corporate job, which I can imagine your parents were probably excited. You finished college and now you have this nice job. As you said, it's a prominent company. But yet you're leaving this job to go do what? Become a YouTube influencer? How did that go over? What were some of those early conversations that you had to overcome with your family and friends?
Right. So my parents actually were very supportive because I was updating them along the way. Like, I got a brand deal for this much money, or I got paid this much. So they did see the amounts that were coming in. So they were less worried about it. But friends definitely were like, what are you talking about? You got a degree in engineering. You are now working at a good company and you're about to quit to do YouTube. Like, it just made no sense to them. So that was something that I had to kind of explain. Like, yeah, I do make money off of this, even if you might not think I do. And I think that's a really taboo topic, is a lot of people don't realize or don't talk about the money that they make on YouTube. So I try to be transparent as possible. I've made videos on the exact numbers that I've gotten paid from AdSense, and I talk about it because I really want people to realize that this is a business. It's not just a hobby that I do anymore. And like, my parents are still supporting me. Like, I'm fully supporting myself, and it's actually made more than what I made at my corporate job by quite a bit, which is awesome.
Well, you said that I would think, like, as people are watching your videos and they come on, and all of a sudden now there is this ad running in the first 5 minutes. And I'm sure when you are first, yeah, 5 seconds or whatever, when you first started creating videos, that didn't exist, right? Did you have any internal conflict early on as to when you did that, to whether or not you would turn your audience off, or would you have this like sellout mentality? Did you ever like feel that internal conflict?
Yeah, actually it is hard because you do get a lot of emails sent to you that are offering money to promote something. And in the beginning, I'm not going to lie, it was very exciting. So I was like, yeah, I'll do anything, like whatever. So I would take a bunch of brand deals that I might not have used the product as much as I said I did. And it was just really exciting for me when I was like 19, 20, 21. But then now I'm at a point where I realize how important your followers and your loyalty to those followers is and how much they trust you. So I have the opportunity to say no to a lot of companies that I don't want to work with, even if they are paying me. And I think that that just helps the integrity of your business in general. So I think brands now know that I'm not going to work with people that I don't believe in. So it's a more authentic partnership, but also my audience knows that I won't promote something that I don't believe in just for money. So I think that in the beginning, it definitely was, I did get a little bit of backlash, and I understand because I was also just like, okay, yeah, I'll take anything now. But as the years have gone by, I've really learned how important the integrity of your brand is. So I've been able to say no to a lot of companies.
Let me ask this. Somebody's listening right now and they say, I love the idea of being an online influencer. Maybe they're really active on social media, but they love the idea, but they don't know what they can personally do to build their own brand. Like, when you first started, you probably weren't making videos in light of what you're doing today. How did you start? And then what was that point where it kind of clicked that, oh, I can actually start doing this as an influencer? Like, walk us through that piece.
Yeah. So when I started, I was really doing things that I loved filming. I was doing makeup videos and fashion videos. And at the time, that was what I was really interested in. As I got older on YouTube, I kind of started to pivot my channel. And along with that, I pivoted my audience. So maybe some people that didn't want to watch more like college geared content, maybe they stopped watching, but I got a new audience that was in favor of the content I was making. So I think it's important to really stay true to what you enjoy doing and to something that you can do long term. So for me, I knew that I wanted my brand to be very centered around the topics that I was interested in my life. So at first, that might have been fashion and makeup. But as I got older and I started being interested in giving more college tips to people that were in college or entering college, and then as I got into the workforce, I started giving a lot more workforce tips and just very realistic content is kind of what my brand, I would say, is now, with geared more towards providing value in terms of working and business. So I think that with that, just my audience has grown with me and they've pivoted and I've learned when to pivot as well. So I think when you are starting a brand, just being true to what your interests are, being true to yourself, and also making sure that you're making content that you enjoy, because your audience will follow you, and they also, you will gain a new audience as well as you make those changes. So making sure that you can create content long term, so that's why I made mine more revolving around what the stages of my life I was in, but also understanding that even if you do make a change, there is a new audience that comes with that, and there's also a new even if the audience leaves from the beginning, you still have a new audience coming with you.
Well, it's a journey, right? I mean, the journey that you were on early on, and I think that's how we found you, right? Joey, you were following that makeup video series that she was doing?
Seriously, come on. You know that wasn't me.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe that's not how we found you, but there is a journey, right? I mean, our audience is on a journey to stop trading time for money, and they love listening to Joey and I talk about the land flipping that we're getting into, or we're moving into this private label, or, you know, the cattle company that we created, or the lending that we've done. I mean, our journey of trying to get to passive income being greater than monthly expenses, everyone are on that same journey and they love following through that process. So I think what you've said is that you have just done your life and there's people who were following you along the way, and then all of a sudden opportunities started to arrive that helped
right.
then turn that into a business.
Right. And I also started realizing that I could turn it into a business even a step further. So I didn't just want to be on YouTube. I did want to diversify my income streams, because I know that social media is a very quick turnaround time. People can forget about you very quickly. So I wanted to make sure that I did have other income streams. So I did start my own consulting business and agency, where I actually help other people build their personal brands and help them with marketing strategies. And then I also help brands with influencer marketing and PR. So making sure that they connect with their audience in a good way, because I truly believe that connecting with your audience, no matter what type of business you have, is one of the most important things that you can do.
No, well, so, and that's really how we have spent some time. So just sharing with you as you're listening to this, Joey and I took the time a couple of weeks ago, actually paid Natalie for an hour of her consulting services to look over some of the things that we were doing. And I mean, as you all know, we have some glaring mistakes and some problem areas out there that we're constantly trying to improve. But Natalie, you were great showing us some of those things, helping us see some of the holes in our YouTube. Like, hey guys, don't you think maybe you can improve the thumbnails here? You might want to throw a description in this that could actually allow other people to find it. I didn't even realize that YouTube was the second largest search engine. So it's probably important if you have a business to use YouTube. Talk a little bit about that, how businesses are growing their traditional, maybe brick and mortar businesses through social media and things like YouTube, because of not only their influence, but the reach through search.
Right. So YouTube is a huge search platform, as you guys already mentioned. And it's really the thing that's great about YouTube is the algorithm, because they don't necessarily need to be searching Wealth Without Wall Street to find your channel. They can be watching a video on passive income, and then YouTube knows that that's what your videos talk about sometimes. It knows that you guys talk about money, that you guys talk about finances. So when someone's watching someone else's video, yours will come up next because YouTube thinks that it'll like it based on that user's interest. So I think that's what's a really great thing, because unlike Google, Google doesn't do that. Google, you have to directly search Wealth Without Wall Street, and then that's how you find you. So I think with YouTube, it's really important because of the algorithm that it does recommend you to similar people without you having to pay for advertising, without you having to ask it to be recommended. The only thing is you have to really optimize it's search engine optimization. So you have to really make sure that you have all the keywords, that you have the tags, that you have the titles and the thumbnails. And with that, a lot of people, I feel like, might not realize how important those things are, but those are really important for the algorithm to start recommending your content. So your reach is even bigger, and it's without paid advertising, because Facebook and Instagram, you have to pay for ads to show up. And YouTube is great because you don't actually have to do that. It can just recommend you.
Now, I mean, you've thrown out a lot of different terminology there. And if you don't watch it, Russ is going to go get a manicure talking about thumbnails and everything. I had to slow him down the other day. I was like, dude, that's not what she meant. Okay, don't do that. But talk about the things that may be standing in somebody's way, or maybe even some of the hurdles that you had to overcome along this way. Okay, so I'm thinking, did you ever have the thought like, well, what can I provide? Why are people wanting to pay attention to me? And then secondly, like going from that, let's say somebody says, oh, I have this really good interest that I want to talk about, but how do I know that people will follow it? Like, did you ever have either one of those two questions?
Yeah, actually I did. Whenever I did make any type of change to my channel, whenever I did something that I wasn't used to doing, I always have a fear that people are not going to want to watch it anymore. This is going to backfire. And typically it actually helped my channel, because it is kind of like a revolving door where some people will leave and some people will come back on. But what I've noticed is whenever I do add something or make a change, more people come on than leave, because they already are so loyal to your brand, because they already know you, they feel like they have a connection to you, they feel like they have a friendship with you. And so when you do decide to change or do something that might be a little more risky or something that you're not used to, actually it just brings in a new audience. So I actually do recommend that sometimes if you have that desire to make a change or to do something that's not your norm, because once you build that connection with your audience, which is why I think it's so important, they aren't going to leave you because one thing changed. So that's why I really, really strongly emphasize how important it is to have an engaged audience, not just someone who follows you for one specific thing. So that's why I think social media is a great way to kind of build your brand more personally rather than as corporate. So rather than just knowing you as a logo, they know you as people, they know you as what the brand stands for. And I think that's how you really get an engaged audience and have them stick around.
How have you seen the last, so as we're recording this is in May of 2020. So we're still on the heels of this COVID-19 and hopefully getting ready to exit it quickly. But how have you seen the viewership on your videos change positively, negatively, or the same during the last couple of months?
So engagement is actually a lot higher, because I do think people have way more time on their hands to go on social media. So engagement is pretty high right now, but actually ad revenue is lower. So I have noticed that because a lot of companies are suffering because of this situation, they're not really putting as much money into their marketing budget. So the ad revenue is a little bit lower actually. But I also have noticed that more brands are trying to be creative and to use influencers more, because they can't create content themselves, because typically a big business will hire a photographer and a studio, and it's more of a production when they're creating content, versus influencers really have the advantage when I can create content in my house. I haven't stopped working at all. So a lot of brands have actually been reaching out to influencers to create the content for them, which I think is a really cool part of being on the internet. You don't have to be an influencer, but just having a digital business, it doesn't really stop because of this pandemic, which I'm really grateful for.
Yeah, well, talking about that, I mean, as businesses are looking for new ways to market, let's kind of finish our discussion a little bit on influencer marketing, because that may be still a new term. We've touched on that once before in our podcast. Talk about how you see influencer marketing taking off, and not only your role in it as someone who is being an influencer, but also I know that you help businesses connect to influencers as well. Talk a little bit to that.
Yeah, I think influencer marketing is one of the best forms of marketing. And I know I might sound biased for it, but I really do believe that it is the best way to connect to your audience to the brand. Because I think when you think of people on the internet, people that you follow, you typically follow them because you view them as a friend. Like, I follow way more influencers, way more people than I just do businesses. I don't follow Coca-Cola. I don't follow even like Nike. I don't follow Nordstrom. I don't follow those giant brands. I follow people that might drink Coca-Cola or that might wear Nordstrom or might wear Nike and train with Nike, but I don't follow those brands. And I think it's because I don't view those brands as friends. And I know that sounds strange, but when you connect your brand with someone that people trust and that has, that they know that whatever they recommend is truthful, that they actually use it, that it's actually good, they come to them for recommendations like you would a friend. I think that's how influencer marketing and why it does so well, because it's coming from the mouth of someone that people trust rather than just a big brand that's trying to get another sale. So I definitely think that influencer marketing is the best form of marketing because it's a more trustworthy form of it.
Well, that really brings to light something, Joey, as she was talking. One, I thought of the fact that you and I, as social as we are not really that social on social media. If you were to check out our social media accounts right now, you would be like, man, really? Christmas post. That's the last thing that I'm going to see. Right? I mean, there's not much. I mean, Joey playing Foursquare with his daughters, or maybe me playing a game of cash flow with one of mine. But there's not a lot of posts. So I think, Joey, what I heard there is that people follow brands. Now, the flip side of that, and I want to ask you about this now. So this would be my devil's advocate to influencer marketing, right? So as business owners, one of the things that we're thinking about is how do we scale our business in a way that it operates as a business without me, right? And in that, there is an exit strategy. There is a point in time where I can sell this business. But yet, I'm going to pick on our famous Uncle Dave Ramsey. He built his brand based upon himself, right? Mm-hmm. And my thought is, how does he ever exit the business and the business continue? And there's hundreds of people there successfully running his business. I don't pretend that he's the one running it. There's plenty of people, but he's the face, right? He is the brand. I don't know if people follow what Dave's doing on Saturday morning or not, but I think about that as an influencer. If you are the brand, you are the person people are listening to see what you're doing. When you quit talking, does the business go away?
Right. So I think that's why it's incredibly important to still create other businesses along with that. So that is why I started my agency, because I know that I need to have a way to create another business that can't operate without me, that I can hire people to help me, that it's not just me all the time being the face of it. And even though I'm the founder of it, it's not necessarily me picking up the camera every day to talk to this business. You know, it's running more on its own. So that is why I do recommend for anyone that is an influencer, that their face is the brand, to kind of have other things that are diversifying their income streams. But at the same time, if that falls away, if you don't have your YouTube channel anymore or your Instagram anymore, you can still go on and be successful. So I actually do recommend always diversifying and creating something else that can help you.
All right. So here's a challenge to our Wealth Without Wall Street Nation. I want you to go and follow Joey Murray and Russ Morgan on Instagram. Now, you're going to be one of the first ones to do it because there's not a whole lot of activity out there. Joey, do you even have an Instagram account?
I do not. That, I mean, I'm the worst. I'm sitting here thinking I am talking to myself right now. Like, I need Natalie to tell me exactly. Right. So get social. Get on Instagram.
Yeah. All right. So Joey, between now and when this airs, Joey's going to create an Instagram account, and know that I'm competitive. So I plan to have way more followers than he does on Instagram. So here's our challenge, Joey, is that you and I have to come back. We need a time frame. Natalie, give us a time frame. How much time should our challenge be to compare if he has more followers?
In 1 month, June 5th.
June 5th.
Woof. Wow. It's quick.
June 5th.
About to get after it.
That yeah, you got to create it today.
That may even be before this airs.
All right, okay. Yes. Then 1 month from where this airs, because then okay. I'll give it a fair shot. All right, so 1 month after this airs.
Please, if for the love, go follow me on Instagram. I think I got a 150-person head start on him. I mean, that's funny. But all right, so I've heard a lot. Natalie, thank you so much for sharing. This is a little bit maybe off topic of our normal conversation, but I do think you or someone you know has the potential to either be an influencer or to use influencer marketing in your business. And I just thought today was a really kind of pivot from a typical conversation that we have. And just also another great entrepreneur story that you got to hear someone who started out in corporate America, was able to create a business that equaled and met her lifestyle goals, which was working from home, which was freedom and independence. And that's what we're all after. So Natalie, thank you so much for taking time and sharing with our listeners today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joey, if I wanted to be an expert, I'm maybe not an expert, but I still wanted to be knowledgeable on the whole concept of the infinite banking process. And I went to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. I got access for free because that's what you gave me because I'm listening to this podcast. What would I do in there in order to learn more?
Simple as pie. Go to the left-hand side, click on courses, and there you can find Infinite Banking 101 and Infinite Banking 201. Can't wait to see you on the inside.
That is at community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.